read to you from the book of Matthew, chapter 1, and starting with verse 18, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you to marry your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus,'" which means Savior, "'for he will save his people from their sins.' So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,'" which is translated, "God with us." Folks, this is what we're singing about tonight. We're not just singing about the birth of the Lord come in a manger. We are singing about all that came with that. We're singing about what he did, what he's doing, and what he will yet do. That's what we're singing. Amen. Father, I just ask as we lift our voices tonight, sing these wonderful traditional Christmas carols, Christmas hymns, that maybe they mean even a little more to us at the end of the night than they did at the beginning. We ask that your son be in our sights and be our goal. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, one of the first songs, Naomi was playing, she was playing a few of the traditional carols. One was, "What Child Is This?" which is a haunting song, isn't it? And we're going to sing it in a little bit. But more than that, it is a song filled with theology. And you say, "Do you got to mention theology? Boy, that's just going to make this Christmas singing all stuffy." Okay. Are you kidding? It is the theology of what we're singing that is what makes Christmas so special, because it is the theology of Jesus Christ. Remember, theology is nothing but doing what we did this morning, just taking a good look at God and getting to know him a little bit better. That's what we're singing about, the theology of Jesus. I'm going to have you, we'll have the words on the screen, but so is the hymnal, the hymn number. And in 250, we're going to sing "O Little Town of Bethlehem." And many times a person thinks about that song. That's a quaint, cute little song, "Little Town of Bethlehem." It's sweet. Well, it certainly is sweet, but it is also theological truth. It's scriptural truth. As we sing it, "O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light, the hopes and fears." Folks, this is what Jesus Christ deals with. Hope, the expectation of what he has promised. Fears, that dread, that terror fear of God, he does away with when you know God through his son, your Savior. He says, "The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight." And then on the third stanza, it says, how silently the wondrous gift is given. That's John 3:16, isn't it? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." Christ is a gift. Can't be earned. And then later on in that stanza, towards the end, in the very last staff, he says, "The dear Christ enters in." Christ, meaning the appointed one, the Messiah, the promised one. He enters in. And he says in the very last stanza, "O come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel," which means God with us. All right. So why don't we sing 250, "O Little Town of Bethlehem."
Yeah.
Child. Now this, okay, debatably, I guess, is not a classic because it's not that old. If you don't consider the 70s very old, I guess it depends on who you ask around here. But that's when this song was introduced, 1971. I'm older than this hymn, so it can't be that old, right? But this is still a wonderful hymn. It may not be a classic, but it's quickly becoming traditional. One small child, when you read that first stanza, it says one small child in a land of a thousand, one small dream of a savior tonight, one small hand reaching out to the starlight. Now doesn't that bring in what we talked about this morning out of Colossians 1:17? And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. He beholds all things, even that little baby. Holding the stars in place. And as you continue on and read stanza 2, do you notice where it says, one king brings gold and riches? What do you know about the word king? It's lowercase. The next line says, one king ruling an army of might. What do you notice about that word? The K is uppercase. And then the third line, one king kneeling with incense and candlelight, that's a lowercase K. And then one king bringing life, that's uppercase. Why? That stanza is all about a contrast of kings. And it actually alludes to the idea of the wee three kings who came to present gifts to him. And those kings, or wise men, were still merely men and nothing more. They brought gold. They brought riches. They knelt, maybe with their candlelight, with their incense. But this king, he rules an army of might. That's the angelic host. And he brings life. Well, that's a lot of theology, folks, in this quaint little hymn, One Small Child. Let's sing it, shall we?
See you.
What Child Is This? It's 281 in your hymnal. And another just incredible, wonderful song. Greensleeves was the title of the original song that this comes from. It's where the melody comes from. And Greensleeves is actually written in the 16th century. It was originally a ballad about a man mourning for his lost love, the Lady Greensleeves. Problem with songwriting back then is records were not kept as accurately, and so it gets hard to know who wrote what. Tradition says that Greensleeves was originally written by King Henry VIII for his love Anne Boleyn. Probably not. But the melody was so haunting that it was actually put to Christmas lyrics as early as 1642. Not that long, really, after it was originally written. But it wasn't until the mid-1800s that an insurance agent named William Dix took a part of what was really a much longer poem, and he took part of the words from that poem, and he put it to the melody Greensleeves, and today we sing that titled, What Child Is This? And of course, this song, it asks the question. It asks the question everybody should be asking. And that question is answered in the last stanza and in the chorus, where it says, the King of Kings salvation brings. That's who this is. It says in the chorus, this is Christ the King. And that's who he is. He is King. And not everybody recognizes Jesus Christ as King. The Bible acknowledges that will be the case. But the Bible also acknowledges that one day everybody will. It says one day every knee will bow, every tongue confess, that this little child is in fact Jesus Christ the King. That's who this is. To those who are seeking him, it's a hunt worth hunting. And the answer is to be found because Christ is not hiding. He has the answer to those who are asking, what child is this? Let's sing it, shall we? Let's all stand for this one.
Thank you.
may be seated. Fine singing. The first Noel. You know, people, this is another, well, I'd say all of these carols are sung all season long by people who really aren't listening to the words. And even if they are, they don't always know what they mean. And especially this song. Go take a poll sometime on the streets and say, can you tell me what a Noel is? And see how many people know what a Noel is. What is a Noel? Okay, a Noel is simply an announcement, a sounding, okay? Here at Open Door Baptist Church, over the last 4 years, a lot of our young married wives have had lots of Noels, okay? A whole lot of announcements made around here lately, and that's what the word means. It's a sounding, all right? Notice, we're going to sing four stanzas from this. But the last stanza, before you go into the chorus, it says, his blood mankind hath bought. See, that's 1 Corinthians 6:20. It says, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Right? They belong to him. You belong to him. Remember, we looked at this when we looked at 1 Corinthians 6, what, a month and a half ago or something like that? The sermon titled, Don't Mess with God's Stuff. It's his stuff. You trust Christ, you belong to him. But that's a good thing. Yeah, that's good because if you don't belong to him, you belong to something much worse. So it's a wonderful song, the Noel, this announcement that he has finally come. Let's sing stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 6, I believe.
The first.
You could hear it from up here. Oh, let's see. This next one is hymn 258. Let's see. That we sang it this morning. Go Tell It on the Mountain. Wonderful song. What do we have here for children, say, 4 years and younger? Are any of them here? Can I get some help up here from 4 years and younger? Just one? Okay. Five? All right. Well, bring them on up. How about six? We got any six-year-olds? Yeah. Come on up, Eleanor. I just need your help. You can stand up here. Heck, I'll get that chair out of the way. Come here, Declan. Right there, buddy. I have some for you.
Right there.
Okay, there you go. Yeah. Yeah, stand right there. That's good. Come on, Gabriel. Stand right there. There you are. That's for you. Eleanor, come on up. Let's see. Let's see. There you go. Myron, take that, okay, buddy? You want to take this one, Eleanor? Can you bring that? Yeah, good. There you go, young man. Well, here, we'll give you one that you can really grab. There you are. You're a big guy. So why don't you come stand up here with these guys, okay? You want to come up here? Yeah, come on up. Okay, I think I have one, too, somewhere. You know what these are? You know what these are called? It's called sleigh bells, all right? And they're great. What I need you to do, if you could ring them when it's time for us to ring, just do what I do, okay? Should be just fine. Let's sing this. Go tell it on the mountain. You ready? Go. Keep them, but your parents might roast me on an open fire. So, tell you what, I'll give them to you after tonight. You can have these, okay? Does that sound good?
I didn't get one.
You didn't get one. You'll get one, I promise. I'll promise to give you one. Okay, let's go, Myron. Careful. Good job. Excellent. Isn't that a nice break from having to look at me the whole time? Oh, 249. Now, this is a classic if ever there was one. Oh, come, all ye faithful. And of course, this hymn is really a call to those who would believe that Jesus Christ truly is the Christ child, the promise. And remember that Jesus Christ is more than a name, it's a title. His last name wasn't Christ. Okay? Mary and Joseph's last name was not Christ. That's his title. In fact, you will often see in the New Testament that it is translated, well, it is actually worded in the original language, Christ Jesus. Why is that? Well, the word Christ means the promised one, the Messiah, the appointed one, the one God foretold he would send. Whereas the word Jesus means Savior. So the reason it's translated Christ Jesus is it saying he is the appointed or the promised Savior. And this hymn is written to those who would believe that. It's written to you if you believe Jesus Christ truly is the Savior of the world, that he's your Savior. To you it says, O come, all ye faithful. Notice that second line in the first stanza. Joyful and triumphant. Joyful and triumphant. There is joy and triumph in knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. Why? Because no longer do you have to try to earn salvation, because that's a lost cause. That just brings hopelessness and misery. But when you accept Christ, who won salvation for you, that misery is replaced with joy and victory and triumph. It says in the third stanza, second line, that he is Word of the Father. Now that's right out of the book of John, chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. See? Word of the Father. And then it says, now in flesh appearing. Well, that's John 1, verse 14, which says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father. He is the only promised Messiah that the Father has, which means he is the only way to eternal life. And this is why we come to him with joy, with triumph. And let's sing this Christmas carol, O Come All Ye Faithful.
Join us, ladies. Now in flesh appearing, O come, let us adore him.
Christmas hymns do something that the world doesn't do, okay? They look beyond the manger, lift their eyes, and look to the cross. These next two hymns do even more than that. Okay. They look even beyond the cross to the return. Christ made a promise he was coming back. Okay. This world had a start. It hasn't been like this for all eternity past. Had a beginning. And the world as we know it will have an end. It won't last like this for all eternity future, right? And I'm glad for that. He has an end coming, and that end time is going to begin when he comes back. Right. And that's what these next couple songs sing about. 277 is Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And have you noticed how many times Christ comes up in these hymns as king, as the king? I think a presidency and a republic and the way our government is set up is really the ideal setup for human government when sinful people are governing, okay? Because it's all about checks and balances and keeping people under the control of the people as a whole. That's the whole idea. You get a monarch or a king, a sinful king in power, and what tends to happen when nobody can keep him in check? Really bad things, right? But what if that king were perfect? What if he had no sin? What if every decision he made was the best one because it was the right one? Huh? Now that'd be a king, right? See, in a kingdom like that, with a ruler like that, I'd say give up the presidency, give up the republic, give up democracy, just follow the king. And that's what Jesus Christ is. And someday he will come back and he'll rule this earth. Right now, if you know him as Savior, you can invite him to rule in your heart. But he's literally going to rule this earth that he created and that he paid for with his blood. And that's what we're singing about. So hark the herald angels sing. In the very first line, it says, glory to the newborn king, right? And then it looks ahead a little bit when it says, peace on earth and mercy mild. Well, peace on earth has not happened since the Garden of Eden. You see a lot of peace on this earth? Listen to the news, only a little while, because you'll either get really frustrated, really angry, or really depressed, one or the other. Because this is not a peaceful earth. There's no peace here, but it's coming. And then it says, God and sinners reconciled, joyful all ye nations rise. Have all the nations risen in joy and praise of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Oh, they rise, all right. They rise against each other in anger, in a hunger of power and dominion. But one day, all the nations, they will not be all abolished under Christ's rule. They'll still be here, but they're going to be in unity. And they'll rise together in praise of God. Boy, I'm looking forward to that. In the second stanza says, down that third line, hail the incarnate deity. That just means God in the flesh is all that means. Christ is deity. Right. And then in the next line down below, it says, Jesus, our Emmanuel. Remember what that means? God with us. And he will be with us. He's with us spiritually now, but he will be with us physically when he comes back and reigns over this earth. And then, I love the way this song ends before it goes into the chorus. The very last line says, born to give them second birth. Folks, that's salvation. Second birth. Christ used the term born again. He told Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again to inherit the kingdom of God, to go to heaven, to have eternal peace. You've been born physically, but Jesus Christ offers himself that you may be born a second time, only this time spiritually. That's the second birth, that's salvation. I'd say that the angels had a message, didn't they? And we're going to sing about that. Hark the herald angels sing. Thank you. Stand on that third. Seated. 245, hymn 245 is our hymn, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. Obviously, Israel is in view here. Chapter 11 of the book of Romans, verse 26 says, and so all Israel will be saved, as it is written. The deliverer, that's Jesus, will come out of Zion, that's a reference to Israel, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Jacob is another reference to the nation Israel. Romans 11, 26 is looking ahead again. This is a hymn that looks beyond the manger, beyond the cross, and to the return of Christ when Christ comes back and does what he promised so long ago when he saves his nation. And that's what the book of Romans means when it says all Israel will be saved. It doesn't mean that every individual Jew within the Israelite nation will trust in Christ as Savior. Well, many have, many do, and many will. But what there's a saying is that the nation as a whole will be saved, put back on the map, and used of God as the seat of Jesus Christ's reign over the whole earth. See, that's the salvation of Israel. And, you know, you can believe this simply based on the fact that in all of their hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years of existence, the Jews have been hated, but they have not been annihilated. And many have tried. Many have tried. And yet, we have Jews today. Praise God for God's people. And the reason they won't be wiped out is God won't let it be. He's going to finish what he started with that nation so long ago, and they will be saved as a nation. He says also, or this hymn also says, the last stanza says, O come, desire of nations, bind all peoples in one heart and mind. And again, that'll happen one day. One day when the earth will be regenerated, renewed, and all who serve here will be unified in one heart and one mind. This is future. Hasn't happened yet. We're singing about what's still to come. It says, bid envy, strife, and quarrel cease. Don't you look forward to that? We look around this world today, there's a lot of quarreling, a lot of strife. And then it says in the very last line before it goes in the chorus, fill the whole world with heaven's peace. Folks, that's coming. That's coming. All of that is coming because Jesus Christ came in that manger 2,000 years ago and then accomplished it on the cross, what only he could accomplish. He's coming back and he'll fulfill this. All these prophecies that have been fulfilled thus far, there's still prophecies yet to be fulfilled, and we're singing about those now. So let's sing, O come, Emmanuel. Just the man. Song. We've historically ended concluded our hymn sing night with Silent Night. Give Naomi a break. And accompany with the guitar. Of course, you know we do this because this is the way this song was first sung to the guitar. Do you remember why? Who remembers why this song was first sung in a small church? very first time after it was written to the guitar? The organ was broke. That's right. That's right. It was broken, and they couldn't get it repaired on the night that the pastor wanted to sing this song with his church. So he used the guitar. Okay? And he considered it a quaint little song. It's actually just another hymn that is filled with theology. But the reason we're singing this today is because, well, he had no intention of doing anything with this song other than use it with his church. But the organ repairman, while he was working on the organ, noticed the sheet music. And he said, "This looks really good. Do you mind if I borrow this?" I said, "Sure." Pastor didn't mind that. It was Joseph Moore that actually wrote the lyrics, but Franz Gruber was the one that put the music together. I said, "Sure, take it." And so the repairman took it to his church, and they sang it. And people there liked it, and it spread to other churches, and they sang it. And before long, it was being translated in other languages throughout Europe, where they sang it, and it made its way to America and was translated in English. And to this day, we're singing this song that probably would have been thrown away after that night had the organ not broke down. So why don't we sing, let's sing all four stanzas of Silent Night, 253.
Thank you.
Father, we just thank you again for your Son, Jesus Christ. May we take joy this Christmas season and the truth of him. And encourage us, Lord, to love one another, edify one another, to love the world, to love the people out there who maybe yet have not heard of really why Christ came. May we be encouraging, joyful, triumphant, and obviously filled with the love of our Savior, in whose name I pray. Amen. Merry Christmas. This is a great start to the season. God bless you. And children, come back up here. I'll give you your bells, okay?